Grace to you and peace from God our Savior and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for the sermon is the first lesson. That's where we begin. After this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And so the text and the title for the sermon, "The Second Best Part of Heaven." Who talks about second bests? Okay? So to get us into this theme and along this path, I ask you a question. Who was the second best baseball team in the National League this year? The Cubs. Is that really exciting or kind of disappointing? Not so much. Yeah. Who talks about second best? Nobody. Second best just fades away, unknown, and it's like, who cares? But there's something with the second best part of heaven that you got to hear about, and I have to share this with you, and it's a path we want to walk down. But first of all, you know what the best part of heaven is? That is to be with Jesus, the risen Lord, the one who came to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, who laid down his life for you, who shed his blood for me, who rose so that we can have eternal life. And there in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, John sees this grand picture from every nation and people and tribe and language, the countless multitude. Whenever the Bible talks in those terms, the number that no one could count, the countless multitude, very simply, what that means is the entire number of the saved, the whole church from beginning to end. So if it's the whole church from beginning to end, and the elder later on calls it those who have come out of the great tribulation, well then, who is the first one to come out of the great tribulation? Give you a hint, his name begins with A, and it's not Adam. Abel. Because this, when the Bible talks, great tribulation, it's great in expanse, great in scope, great in time, and the full number of believers is those who have come out of it. That's us and them, the Old Testament saints, all the way back to the beginning and gathered around that throne. Picture, if you will, standing there on that day, and as the angels are bringing in more and more of the risen, the glorified, those who know Jesus, and the number swells, and you're looking out as far as the eye can see, a countless multitude. You're never going to be able to count that. And this is what Jesus has done. He has saved every one of those people there, and they're clothed in white robes, and they sing the salvation of God. This is the best part, for them to be with Jesus, for us to be with Jesus ourselves, to be able to reach out and touch him, to see him with these eyes, hear him with these ears, as he says, "Enter into the joy of your master." To know that we are the sheep of the good shepherd, and our good shepherd has brought us safely through, and what lies ahead of us is nothing but eternal blessings and joys, and it goes on and on and on, and we're a part of that. The best part is the one who brought us there, and to know that for all eternity we will celebrate the love of Jesus, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the best part. What's the second best part? Walked down this path some years ago in a previous congregation, and a good friend by the name of Herb Gensch, to be precise, comes up to me afterward and says, "That was the best sermon I ever heard." Well, maybe the second best sermon I ever heard. Some years after that, Herb passed, and at his funeral, we got to walk this path again. And what this path is to think about it for a while. There you are on the day of Jesus' return. You're risen and glorious, and you look around you and you see face after face after face of those who have known Jesus, who have gone through the trials of this world, come into salvation, and they're living forever. And you begin to look out further and further, and you can't see the end of it. It stretches as far as the eye can see, this countless multitude. How many is there? Hundreds of thousands, a million, 10 million, 100 million, billion? And you're part of them. Now, you got a job to do. Here's your job. Personally meet each one. Here's the good part. How long do you have to do that? Forever. Okay? And after you've personally met and got to know your first million, you're going to have some catching up with the first 1,000? And on and on and on it goes. Because you see, with each one who is there, there is a unique story. Their life. And how Jesus connected with their life, called them to faith, gave his grace, his forgiveness, his love to them. How he called them by name individually and brought them into the kingdom of God. And the stories are endless. Who do you want to meet first? Great-great-grandma? Abraham? The Apostle Paul? Go and bug Adam and see which rib is gone. That's where my mind turns. Do you really have no belly button? Okay. This type of thing. But realize as you're doing that, as you're setting off trying to personally meet a million people and then another million and another million, guess what? There's a million people wanting to know your story. And another million and another million. And the amazing thing is everything in our stories as Christians is about Jesus, the Lamb of God, and what he has done for us. And all those stories gathered around the one story of, well, the greatest love story ever, the Son of God coming for us to redeem and save us and to bring us into eternal life. All of those stories come together in this great, amazing gathering of praise to God. And now, as all of this is happening, one more thing to share with you. There is somebody there who, for him, it is not a matter of he has to go and personally get to know a million people and another million and another million, because he personally knows each one right then. He knows every detail of our lives. He knows every part of our story. He knows how we were brought into faith and into the Christian church. He knows the story of what he did for us, and day by day how he walked with us and watched over us and guarded and kept us. And of course, his name is Jesus. He is the Good Shepherd. And with this picture in mind, that's a part of what it means that he is the Good Shepherd. He doesn't gather, oh, say 1,000 from here and 10,000 from there. He gathers and he builds his church. One person, one soul at a time. Individually calling us into eternal life. Knowing us each by name, guiding us along, each one of us, individually, walking with us through the trials and the war against temptation, against sin, building and rebuilding our faith, strengthening us, picking us up where we fall, guiding us along. And we have him as our good shepherd. And this is absolutely the most amazing part of what it is to be a Christian, to me. To be known by Jesus individually, called individually by him, and then to look out, and this is tiny part of it. I look out at a congregation and realize that each one of you, each story is individual and different. Each one called by Jesus in your own path, your own walk. He knows you. He guides you along. And he brings you not only into eternal life now, but he's bringing you into eternal blessings and joys. This is my Savior. And this is the one that I want to be my Savior and want to have an eternity with him. In Jesus' name, amen.